Hey guys, welcome back to Talk Tennis Tea, and grab your cuppas and just let's get straight into it. I'm not even going to talk about it. Let's go. So it is finally the end of the year, and wow, it has been a tough year. It's been a long year. There's lots of stuff that have happened, and I just wanted to summarize what's happened in the last couple of weeks and just looking into next year, what we can see, what I would like to see, and how we can improve. Along with this podcast, there's going to be a special New Year's Eve podcast where we're going to be doing something that I saw on YouTube, and it's Trends We're Ditching, hashtag Roast 2018. So I'm going to be doing that for the tennis community and like all the tennis trends that I saw this year that I'm like, no, we're leaving that behind. Like, that's not coming into the new year. And so look out for that podcast, special podcast that'll, I think if it goes well this year, maybe it'll be inaugural thing, but we'll just try it this year and we'll see how it goes. So first thing, we're going to start with the WTA, and my big shock was Iga Radwanska announced her retirement. She was the hotshot queen, as everyone paged her, and it's quite sad. She was an amazing player, and two players who actually got really emotional were Angelique Kerber and Caroline Wozniacki, because they were like the squad. Basically, they were all quite close with one another, and that's so sad. But Iga is living her best life, and she had an injury actually, which just wasn't healing too well. So she decided, you know what, it's not working out, let's just move on with life. And congratulations to her, she got married, I think it was last year, and she's having the best life. And she opened up a hotel recently with all like her wins. Each room is a different win from her different city, so that's really awesome. I'm not sure if she won a Grand Slam. I'm not quite sure, but congratulations to Iga on an amazing career, an amazing run. You are forever in our hearts, and we love you so much, and good luck with the rest of your life, basically. Next up, a heads up for Lucy Safarova, who will be retiring in 2019 after the Australian Open. I think that'll be her last major tournament, and it's so sad because she's another one who we love. She's great at doubles, she's great at singles as well, and she's a good character, and we just love her. So that's sad to hear as well. We have a baby alert. Elena Vesnina gave birth to her baby, and oh, it's so, so cute, so adorable. Congratulations, Elena, and to your partner as well. So cute, and oh, congratulations, guys. That's awesome, and we can't wait to see you guys back on the tour. If you are coming back, if not, live the rest of your life, but I haven't heard anything, so hopefully you're coming back, because we love you too. So yeah, next is, I'm pretty sure you guys have seen this, and everyone's been raving about it, but there's a Lena movie coming out, and I'm so excited. Dominika Sivakova actually posted a little snippet of like the filming and the behind the scenes, because she was invited to go over and do some filming with them, so because she's part of the movie as well, which is so exciting and super cool. So I'm really excited to see this movie, and it's making me buzz a little bit. Backtracking to a couple of weeks ago, like 2 weeks ago or not, but the Czech Republic won the Fed Cup, and it was their sixth title in 8 years. They won against the USA team, who put their B squad up. The USA actually played with their B team, or maybe C team even, because, yeah. I don't know how to talk about it, but congratulations to the Czech Republic, because you guys annihilated them. It was a 3-0 win, so that's awesome. So, and it's their sixth title in 8 years, if you guys didn't catch that. So they're pretty dominant. They're dominating. So that's really good. Just a summary of the major titles that people won. The last two titles, obviously, the WTA has like a World Tour ending, World Tour finals, and they have like a junior or like an elite trophy kind of a thing. So Elena Svitolina won the Singapore, which is the like the equivalent of the World Tour finals, which is awesome. It was kind of unsuspecting, because someone who hadn't won a Grand Slam has won the title, which is good because it shows the next generation of players are coming in, and it's not the same old people coming to win the match. And then Ash Barty, who had an amazing season and had an amazing year, won the elite trophy. So congratulations to those women. Hopefully you guys can move on with that momentum, and hopefully we get Grand Slams from the both of you, because you go great. So that's what they did, and it's just really awesome to see because they're both amazing players, and it's nice to see different faces for a change. I know people are always complaining that the same people win all the time, but you know, sometimes we like to see new faces, so that's always good. Next up is the ATP, and as we know, there was so much drama from the ATP. There's always a drama with the ATP, but you know, let's begin. So, starting with the World Tour Finals, Sasha Zverev pulled out the impossible. He won the World Tour Finals, beating Novak Djokovic in the final, who Novak is the year-ending world number one. So congratulations to Novak on that. You did amazing. Your comeback after 6 months, all that. Great. Two Grand Slams? I think. This year? I'm not sure. But anyway, two major titles for you, and you did amazingly. So good job, Novak. But even better job, good job, Sasha. He beat Novak and Federer back-to-back, straight back-to-back days as well. Just awesome. He didn't look like the favorite. He came in with an injury from Paris, and it didn't look good for him, but he pulled out the stops, and he went. He was hungry. He had the eyes of a tiger, and he just went for it, which is great. He did have a bit of controversy in the Federer match. Obviously, there was the ball kid who let the ball slip, and Sasha stopped play, and obviously, you are allowed to do that. It is in the rules, and that was a rule that I didn't know, and Federer was like, what? Like, well, he didn't. Obviously, Federer didn't see it because it was on behind him, but, you know, Sasha did see it, and it would distract someone like that, so that sucks, but congratulations, Sasha. Everyone is buzzing about this, so that's awesome for you, Sasha. We appreciate that, and we're definitely, like, that's amazing. We do want you to win a Grand Slam, however, so hopefully next year, don't flop on us just because you won this title. Don't do it Grigor Dimitrov now, you know what I mean? So just pull it together, keep going the way you're going, and it's great. Everyone was crediting this win to Ivan Lendl. And yes, I would say, but people were talking about if Sasha pulled the Lendl card too early in his career, and I'm like, no, because Sasha has all this pressure to actually do well and all this kind of stuff, and if he didn't pull, like, it's a mess. So that's that. Anyway, Jack Sock and Mike Bryan won in the doubles. Jack Sock had controversy the whole week. He hit two players, actually. Yeah. He hit Marcelo on the elbow. I don't mean attacked. I mean he hit them with the ball in the match. Let's not start a war now. So he hit Marcelo on the elbow. And I can't remember who else he hit. But I think he did something to the French pairing, Hubert and Nico. Something happened with them. Because Nico was very shady in his speech at the end, because they were playing them in the final, and yeah, so Nico basically praised Mike but did not say anything about Jack. Like, he literally avoided the topic about Jack Sock. So interesting. Jack Sock has had a lot of controversy this year. We're not even going to go about it. If you want to find out about Jack Sock's controversy, listen to all the other podcasts. I mention him every single time because he does something every single time. But good news in the doubles community is that Bob Bryan will be coming back, so we're not going to have to see Jack Sock ever again. Not that he won't play doubles, but we won't have to see him as much as we did this year in terms of doubles. They won like two Grand Slams or something like that. I'm not sure, but they did win a lot of major titles. But Jack and Mike, and this just topped it off. So congratulations to them. In respect, they're good doubles and they have a good mix of connection, whatever. But also, don't hurt people, Jack. Just stop. He did get his medicine back. That didn't make that. Oh gosh, you guys see I'm tired. I need a vacation as well. I need this off season as much as the players do. No, he did get what came for him, I guess you could say. A ball girl, I should say. She did run into him. It was a complete accident, but in my head, I'm just gonna stop right there. But Yeah, it wasn't anything much. They'd celebrated. They did what they did. They're having the best life. So Bob will be back next year. So hopefully he can compete just as good. And hopefully he's recovered from his injury. Novak. As we all know, he's not my favorite person. But I do have to give it up for him. He had an amazing comeback. Really, really amazing comeback. He actually won comeback of the year. The award to the ATP award from the Moen and Chandon awards that happened. He won that and his coach won coach of the year. So fair play to them. Amazing team. Congratulations to you guys. You have a world number one and you guys are, you guys have won slams. I think he won the US Open. Did he not? Yes, he did. He did. Yes, I am correct. He did win the US Open, Novak. So congratulations to him. However, Novak, you were beaten by three next-gen players. Karen Khachanov in Paris, Stefan Tsitsipas in Toronto, and Sasha Zverev in the World Tour Finals. So Novak's kryptonite is the next-gen players because they've all beaten him. So we'll see how that goes next year because I want to see if he can. Obviously, there are some next-gen players that he's annihilated, but for majority, he's lost against them. So that's interesting. And obviously, those three are the top next/now-gen players. Karin, I would count him as a now-gen, like, player. Obviously, people are expecting big things from them over the year they've had, but it's been good. Hopefully, they can actually succeed and do well. We don't want them to flop. So, the next-gen finals, speaking of next-gen, went well. The next-gen finals obviously had a lot of new rules and new stuff that was happened. They had the coaching headsets. They had the towel racks. They had no linesmen. They had faster sets. They had... What else did they have? They had too many new rules for me to remember. But I think the big things were the headsets because, not naming names, but Steph, you kind of you broke one. And then the towel boxes, which I hated. I thought it was stupid. Like, if you're going to have it, like, I thought they were going to do a towel rack that would, like, hang into the court. But no, it didn't work. I didn't see it working. It was too far away. There was a lot of floor, and I thought it was lazy of them to just have like a box, and it wasn't even a named box. Like, they didn't have the players' names or anything. It was just a box. So how are you supposed to tell if that's your towel or not? Like, it was just stupid. Absolutely stupid. I think there were so many other things that were so stupid about the next gen, and I could talk about it for ages. Oh, the music, the DJ was awful. Like, I'm like, if you're gonna have a DJ, you're gonna have to do it properly. Like, every player needs a song. Don't just play the same song over and over again. Like, no, that's not how it works. That's not what we're doing here. If you're gonna have a DJ, I need specific songs for every player. And then they just did so many, like, extra stuff. Like, they went to the Dolce & Gabbana store. And I was like, what was that about? Not even all of them went. It was just, like, four of them went. And I'm like, I want to see everyone else. I want to see photos of everyone else. And then it was, like, Steph against everyone else. And then Liam Caruana was robbed. Like, the next gen tournament really hurt me. Because I actually followed it. Last year, I didn't follow it. Because I was like, I don't like anyone who's playing. But it was still good, but I just didn't like anyone who was playing, so I didn't follow this year. I was invested. But I was like, there's so much potential for the next gen finals, and it could be so great. I have to big up, though. You guys have heard me talk about the next gen ATP account, Instagram account, and their Twitter account for so long, and how horrible it is. And I do have to admit, it's still horrible. But in the weeks of when the next gen finals were going on, they did pick up their shit. They did do well. And I'm not saying they were great and they did amazingly, but I am saying that they did better than most. Who's deciding to mow their lawn at this time of the day? Like, what? No, that's an airplane. What is going on? Sorry, guys. Just random noises. I hope you guys didn't hear that. But I was like, what? Yeah, but the next gen finals, it was just a, like... It was good, but it was a mess, and Anyway, back to the most important things. What you guys want to know is who won and so on and so forth. I do have to say Stefanos Tsitsipas was the winner. As we all know, runner-up was Alex Demenor. Both of them, except for, sadly, Alex is not Alex. But we can say Steph and Alex went undefeated in the group stages. Steph was completely undefeated the whole tournament, and Alex played amazingly. They both deserved to be in the finals because they both treated it like a real tournament. And there is that kind of question, and people, I was getting upset with people because they were like, oh, if Steph wins this, it doesn't count as an actual title. And I'm like, no, it does count as a title because it means something. It is still a tournament, like, it's still something. Even though it's an exhibition, like a world tour fight, like it's a finals, but it still means something. It's still a thing. Everyone else counted it for Hyung Chang, so why doesn't it count for Stefanos? Just because Sasha doesn't have one, that's why we're not counting it, you know what I mean? So it still counts, and it's kind of that thing where people are just like, oh, exhibition titles don't count. No, they do, honey. They do count, okay? Sit back down. So, yeah, and then third was Andre Rublev, who was runner-up last year, and he played amazingly. He was very ferocious, and he played a semi-final with Stefanos Tsitsipas that broke my heart. I mean, broke my heart because I was so scared. I was rooting for Steph, but, and, like, the little bit of me was rooting for Andre as well. And Andre would not go away. He was they were fighting for it. And this is when Steph had his meltdown and he broke the racket. Not broke the racket, but he broke the headset. It was quite funny. I did laugh a little bit, but sorry, Steph. But it was, like, it just, like, everything was, it was a tough match. And because of the fact that it was four games, it was a fast four format of playing, it just made everything heightened. Like, everything was more intense, and I was like, my heart cannot handle this, like, ugh. But no, it was great, and the quality of matches that I did see and I did watch was outstanding. Like, these guys are coming for the ATP tour, and I have to say, if there's anyone who impressed me, it was the wild card, Liam Karuna. And I talked about him, I think I mentioned it on Twitter. If you guys don't follow me on Twitter, follow TalkTennisT on Twitter, because I post regularly a lot, and I comment on a lot of stuff. But he played amazingly. He did a dive volley by Stefanos. He was everywhere. Like, Liam Karuna is the next big thing for Italian tennis. Like, Fabio Fognini, they have so many other players, Andrea Seppi, and then Liam Karuna is the next, I think he's the next coming up one, because he played so well. He did so good, and I honestly think he deserved it. He earned his place amongst these guys, because he didn't win any matches, which was kind of upsetting for me, but he did, he showed that he can play against these guys. And most of these guys know him, because he actually plays, he grew up in America, and he plays in the American circuit, so most of the American dudes knew him, like Taylor Fritz, and Francis Tiafoe, they do know him, so it was, like, they know how he plays, and he's just an amazing player, and I'm so happy for him, because he played well, and he proved to me. I was like, oh, who's this guy? And then I was like, oh, you can play, you've earned your place, like, you've earned your slot in this position. So good job to him, and I can't wait to see what he does next year, and I'm really excited about that. I do have to say, it was a bit heart-wrenching and a bit hard to watch some of the interviews and, like, group interactions, because you can definitely tell who's friends and who's not friends, and who doesn't have friends. But, you know, at the end of the day, these guys, you know, some of them are here to make friends, some of them aren't here to make friends. Some of them don't get along with each other, and it's totally fine. That's all good. We all love it, and we all just enjoy the same thing, and they're here to play a sport, and that's all that it is. But congratulations to Steph, Alex, and Andre. You guys did amazingly. You guys are the top, I would say, and then Dennis included, but Dennis didn't play because he wanted a break and he wanted to start his holiday early. So, yeah, speaking of the next-gen players, some of the off-season stuff that I've been seeing is amazing. Obviously, I just want to give a shout-out to Denis Shapovalov, who is a rapper. Can we say now? He's a rapper. He's rapping. He's doing his thing on the beats with the tracks. Skrk, skrk. Lol, I embarrass myself so much. But congratulations to Dennis. I haven't listened to the song. I'm excited to listen to the song, and I've been following the Insta stories and all the stuff you've been posting, and I'm really proud of you, because I think the thing about the next gen is they're not afraid to do what they love. Like, I saw Nick Kyrgios is streaming on Twitch now, and I'm like, when did you become a gamer? Like, I used to get angry because he was playing games, but I'm like, do you! Like, you do you. If this is helping you, then you do you. Speaking of Nick, he came out and he said, he talking about his mental health, and I want to big up to Nick because that is a serious topic at the moment that we have in the whole entire world, not just in the tennis community, not just in the sporting community, but in the world as a whole. Like, it's people, we need to start taking it seriously. So big up to Nick. And I'm also going to shout out Sam Groth, who is another Australian tennis player. He retired, but he's doing a lot of stuff in the media helping people actually understand mental health of players and being like, no, it's a serious thing and we need to take it seriously. So Nick has actually said out, and he's came out and he said he's dealing with or he's meeting with two psychiatrists who are helping him just with his mental health and stuff. So congratulations, Nick. Hopefully this works for you, and I can't wait to see you back on tour. Hope your injuries are fine, and I hope your gaming stuff goes well. I hope you're making some coin with that as well, because I haven't watched a stream, but I think I will actually end up watching a stream. I'm not a big gamer, but I'll watch because it's Nick, and I think it'll be interesting. So congratulations to them. But back to Dennis. He's doing his thing, and I think that's awesome. And he said he was actually inspired by Vashik Pospisil. Vashik plays guitar, he sings, he had a YouTube channel where he posted covers, and he just did vlogs like Stefanos does now, but he kind of stopped, which was, I guess Vashik was the first tennis vlogger, and then Steph came along. I don't know if Steph got inspiration from Vashik or not, I don't know, but Steph has other, but it was just really interesting to see Vashik's side of it, and I was like, oh, that's so sweet. And Vashik obviously is big in music, he loves music, you guys see him posting about. He has his guitar and all that kind of stuff. And so congratulations to Dennis. I think that's really awesome. And I'm proud of the next student. Like, they live their life. They don't care what people think of them. And they're not just going to beaches and sitting and doing nothing. They're actually doing stuff that they love. And I think that's so cool, because I had never thought, like, when I saw it, I was like, Dennis? Like, who is this person? But I think that's really cool. And you're living your dreams, and they're able to do that through a passion. Like, they have backup plans, and I think that's the best thing. And I don't know if I was talking to myself or I was talking to someone, one of you guys on Twitter, and we had a conversation about what would they be studying in uni. And I think that's a good, like, that's a good question. Actually, link, reply to this, reply either on Twitter or Instagram, or even with the video of voice message on Anchor, and we should have like a real conversation about this. I want to know what you guys would think. What would some of the next gen players, if they weren't playing tennis, what would they be doing at university, or what would just they be doing in life? Like, if they weren't tennis players, not the besides sports, what do you guys think, like, as a job? Like, would they be architects? Would they be designers? Would they be engineers? That kind of stuff. I want to know what you guys think. I think that'll be that's an interesting topic, because I was talking to someone else about this, and I was like, Steph would definitely, like, he'd be in computer science. But anyway, I'm not going to talk about it in this one, because I could literally talk about it all day. But congratulations to the next year. You guys definitely, and I'm saying one thing, my prediction for next year is the next gen coming for the rest of the ATP. They're coming for you, and I predict maybe two Grand Slams next gen ways. That's my two Grand Slams going the next gen. So that's my prediction. Anyway, to challenges, my favorite part of the ATP, I would say. So this week we actually have the last two tournaments in Andria, Italy, and Pune, India, which is super exciting. And a lot of the challenger guys have, I think some of them are on break now because they played their last tournaments last week, but a few of them are still playing this week. And I didn't know the challenger tournament was still going. I was actually surprised. I thought they ended ages ago. But you know what? Good on those guys getting it in before the off season, and they get a longer break, I would say. But congratulations to them. I do have a couple of winners from last week, and we've got Bradley Klan, who won an Oracle Challenger, which is a USTA that's in America, Pablo Endura in Buenos Aires, Riley Opleka in an American one as well. And I do have to say that the Challenger guys, they're not just next gen, they are a whole mix of different guys, and they are doing it. Like, so many of them are in the top 100 now, and it's insane, absolutely insane, and I'm super proud of them. I'm going to mention a couple of names like Bernard Tomic, Riley Opleka, Ernest Gulbis, Jordan Thompson, Mackenzie McDonald, a lot of them have done so well to get to that point. And a lot of them are knocking on the door. If you look at the list of maybe the top 20 people outside of the top 100, is a lot of guys who are next gen or playing challengers and then knocking on the door of the top 100. Some of these ATP guys need to really watch out or else they're going to be knocked out, because we saw that happen with Jack Sock this year. He flew out. He's gone, long gone, out of the top 100. He's at 106 at the moment, so he needs to pick up his shit if he really wants to do well. And then Thanasi Kokkinakis, who is at 153, so he did have an injury, but he came back, but he just wasn't playing as well as he was at the big tournaments. And that's sad to say, but Thanasi, you just gotta, we gotta keep fighting. We're gonna get there, and then you're gonna be great. But really, some of these ATP guys who think their spot is secure, no. The challenger boys are coming for you. They're coming for your wigs. They're gonna snatch wigs this year, next year, okay? You guys really have to pick it up, and you can't be just chilling. No one can be chilling. Your spot is never safe. So I predict a swerve of challengers, guys, just waving into the top 100, especially once we start getting into the clay season. I think that's really when they're going to start coming out. And when we get after the Australian Open, when you have the tournaments in South America and stuff like that, that's when the guys are really gonna come out for you. So, you know what I mean? I'm really looking forward to the Australian Open. I'm so excited to the summer of tennis. I'm so excited. It's gonna be great. And I can't wait. It's gonna be really good. I've enjoyed my first year of podcasting. I just want to say thank you guys to everyone. It's been amazing. I didn't expect the love and the reaction that I've gotten from you guys, but I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for all your kind messages and actually being interactive, and it's honestly insane. And I can't wait to do it all again next year. We're going to have some interesting stuff happening next year. I've got so much planned for podcasts and just hopefully some collabs as well. So I'm really, really excited. And I hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. And if you guys have any suggestions, you guys know where to find me on Twitter, on Instagram, at TalkTennisTea. I'll leave a link in the description like I always do. But yeah, this has been awesome. And I'm so excited to catch you guys next year and we can talk again. And we'll probably first one will be draw reaction for the Australian Open. So we'll catch you guys then. Hope you enjoyed your cuppers, and peace.